Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight on the important topic of policing. My guests include Katrina Thompson, who's the 15th Chief of Police for the City of Winston-Salem. She has served 26 years with the Winston-Salem Police Department. She states, being a community means we are developing relationships, building bridges, and breaking down walls and forging allies. If we do those things, we will build trust and confidence and legitimacy in the profession. That will not only help us in solving crimes, but in preventing them from happening. Our next guest, Sheriff Bobby F. Kimbrough Jr. He has more than 30 years of law enforcement experience and is the first African-American to hold the position in Forsyth County. He states, not only do we serve and protect, but we must be part of the community we serve. Lastly, we have Amir Henry. He recently became the Chief of Police at Winston-Salem State University. He's a former United States Marine and a North Carolina State Trooper. In his letter to the university community following the death of George Floyd, he writes, "We value the lives of our students, faculty, staff, and community. Our officers will continue to uphold and protect what we know are the core values of law enforcement to build trust in the light of these tragic and unnecessary incidents." Ladies and gentlemen, please join me tonight for a very special Future Focus, featuring leaders in this community. They have been individuals. They've been leaders in this community for a very long time, and I wanted to have this show because it's important for us to have this discussion about policing, particularly in Winston-Salem and Forsyth County, because in Winston-Salem State, that's where we reside. It's important as chancellor of the university to be able to tell parents and students who come to Winston-Salem State University that they're coming to a community that's safe, but also they're coming to a community where policing, we're partners with that. I've been chancellor 5 years. This is my 6th year as chancellor at Winston-Salem State University. I've been honored to have leaders in this community who are passionate about the work that they do and passionate about community policing. So thank you for joining us in what promises to be an important discussion. So what I want to do is I want to start really with getting everyone to tell me a little bit about, we start with you, Chief. Tell me a little bit about kind of how you're doing and how the force is and how you guys are coping with all of this, but more how you're doing and how are the officers doing?
So Chancellor Robinson, thank you so much for having me on and inviting me to be able to communicate with our community. How we're doing, we're hanging in there. You know, we're dealing with some extremely tough times, and it's tough for everyone, and not just in the U.S., across our globe. And so we know with challenges, there comes a lot of uncertainty. And right now we have officers that are dealing with just normal stress of the job. And then when you couple that with an international pandemic, and then on top of that, you have several incidents of just African-Americans dying at the hands of law enforcement, just unnecessarily, it adds even more stress to an already stressful and uncertain time right now. So our officers are, they're really trying to do the best they can to stay focused and know that our number one job is keeping this community safe. And so we remain committed and our eyes are on the prize in terms of doing exactly that. But again, they're just like everybody else. They are challenged with the uncertainty. They're challenged with even the attack on the profession, even though those things hadn't happened here. But I appreciate you asking and we're hanging in there. Thank you.
Good enough. Sheriff, how you doing, man? How you hanging in there, man?
So, Chancellor, just to echo what the chief said, I want you to know it's a pleasure to be a part of this. These unprecedented times, and you know, everybody's stressed, very difficult times. You know, we're faced with two pandemics simultaneously. You know, the pandemic of COVID-19, the pandemic of social unrest, a lot of isms and discriminations across our country. You know, both of the pandemics have two common denominators. One being they're both are contagious. Two, they're both are very lethal and deadly. And so it's a stressful time for the men and women that serve and protect, regardless of where you work in this country, because is it the profession, as Chief said, is a lot of scrutiny, some of it justified. And so I think that at the end of the day, we must realize that we're in this together. At the end of the day, we must realize that we're together stronger. Even though we may disagree, we're better together. Mm-hmm. You know, I say it all the time about how, you know, teeth and tongue exist every now and then, teeth bite tongue, but they realize how strong and better they are together. And so, you know, we're trying to hold, keep the morale up, and continue to serve and protect in the way that we do.
Thank you, Chief. I'm going to thank the Sheriff. We appreciate that. We have Chief Amir Henry. Chief, I asked the question because I had a chance to meet with the force about a couple weeks ago, because I was concerned about what was happening. I was concerned about the perception that people have about police officers. And so I wanted to just sit down and have a conversation with them, just only to see how they're doing. Amir Henry, you just got in the seat. You've been in the seat for a couple of weeks. How you doing?
I'm doing well. The department, you know, is holding it together and doing the best that they can. They're staying encouraged, and you had a lot of conversations. Again, there's a lot going on with COVID-19, and you have a lot of unnecessary things happening in the community at the hands of law enforcement. I do know that, you know, the officers can get frustrated at times because they put in so much work in the community. And there's so much happening behind the scenes. And when you see something like this happen in the community, it really affects all the officers across the country, right? So there is some frustration there, but the one thing that I like about the officers here, they love what they do. They love engaging this community. They love the relationships that we have in this community. So again, they're keeping it together.
Yeah, well, great. Thank you. The three of you know each other, right?
Of course.
Oh, absolutely.
You know each other. I mean, I think that's the nice thing about this show, and nice thing about law enforcement and this area. You do know each other. And I began the show with a quote from each of you, and that quote really speaks to community policing. And we've heard that topic before, and we've heard different parts of the country talk about that's what we need. I can say since I've been here, it works here and it's happening here. Share with us your idea about community policing. Chief, what is that? You and I have talked about this before. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. So I'm going to tell you, since 1989, our agency has been a community-oriented policing agency, which means it's not a just the facts, ma'am or sir, type of organization. We deliver law enforcement services by developing relationships with the people we serve. And that takes on many different forms. You know, it's about doing the wobble during homecoming with the
And you do it well. I didn't know you had those kinds of skills. I have not had the sheriff, but I've heard, Chief, that the sheriff might want to join us as well.
Come on. But you know, it's about giving out backpacks to our kids in our underserved communities right before they get started with school, because we realize that children, their confidence level are much higher when they can enter the playing field on the first day of school with the same items that their peers that are more fortunate have. It's about, you know, creating opportunities to interact with kids during trunk or treat in a safe space where they can interact with law enforcement in a positive light. We don't want our community to see us as someone to fear. We want them to know that when we're around, we're people that can be trusted, that we are people that are going to work towards keeping them safe. But we also want them to understand that we can't do it alone. We have to do it in partnership with them. And that community-oriented policing goes way beyond just a group of people or a squad of people. It's about from the time the call comes into our communication center to the time the officer goes to court and everything in between. It's about treating people like we want them to treat our children or we want them to treat our grandparents. That's what community policing is about for us.
Oh, I love that. And I see the three of you all over this community. It's not just your roles that you play, but I see you on boards. I see you in the community. I run into you all the time. I'm assuming that's also part of that whole notion of community policing as well.
So absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, before you get to know and understand me as chief of police, I want you to know who Katrina is. And so if we're sitting on a board together and we're having these conversations about issues in our community that we can work together on, whether it's about policing or it's about healthcare or food insecurities, whatever those issues are, we're sitting down and we're working together. You know, when you can hear and interact with me, and by the way, the sheriff and Chief Henry and several of the other chiefs in our area, every Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month, we're sitting down for breakfast. Wow. And we're having conversations. Our business cards were exchanged years ago. So when a situation comes up, we don't wait till an emergency happens before we get to know each other. You know, we've trained together. We've communicated together. We've met together. We've discussed issues together. And we do that, again, as a preemptive move in terms of trying to work together to find real solutions to deal with real problems in our community long before they fester.
Yeah, and it pays off, and it pays off. And we see the outcome of that with this area being one of the safest areas. Sheriff, you all over the place, man, powerful in your voice, talking about racism, discrimination. I was on a call with you not too long ago, and you had some powerful words. Tell us about being in the community and why this is important.
So, you know, this is home for me. Even though I've traveled and worked as an agent across the globe, this is home to me. And I believe that if you're going to work in the community, you must have what I call community credibility. If you don't have credibility in the community, to me, that you're insufficient. And so by having community credibility, what that means to me is that if I'm going to serve a community, I must be a part of that community if I want to serve it. If I'm going to change it, I've got to be a part of the atmosphere that I'm trying to change. So to me, community policing is getting out into community. My father used to say something as a young boy when I was growing up. My father was full of what I call nickel knowledge. He said, tell me where a man spends his time and his money, and I'll tell you what he loves. And so if you're not spending time and your money in that community, what that says to me is you don't love that community. So I show every day what I think of my community. We spend time, we adopt schools every year. We adopt North Hills Elementary this past year. We raised over $50,000 US currency, not from the budget, but from phone calls asking people to be a part of it. We go into the school every Thursday. We teach a class in that school, helping, mentoring, building playgrounds in the community, doing not drive-by shootings, but drive-by parades for the elderly, for babies, doing things what I think make a difference in the community. People have to see that you care about them before you come in and want to police them, you know. And so I think that that is paramount, that you be a part of the community. People must see you as human beings first. And one of the things that I try to be vocal and I try to be present, because I understand the history of policing in America. I understand the history of policing, period. And I understand that there are a lot of biases that goes into policing. And, you know, before I was the sheriff, before I was a special agent, before I was a police officer, I was a Black man. I understand the discrimination, the racism, and all the things that play into law enforcement. And so if I know that firsthand, then I have an obligation, because to whom much is given, much is required. And I accept that. And so I love being a part of the community. I love mentoring young guys. I love being at the playground. I love all that we do. I love being in your parade every year. I love coming over on the campus.
Yeah. Sharon, what does it mean to you to be the first African-American male to hold the position of sheriff in Forsyth County?
Well, you know, what it means to me is that when I look at that and I was running this race, you know, people would always tell me, you can't win. There's never been a black sheriff before in this county. Since 1852, there's never been a black sheriff. And one of the things that I would always say is that, you know, the old gospel song, let my work that I've done speak for me. And I knew that my credentials, I knew that my service record in this community before I asked the people to believe in me. And I just believe that I know that I'm black, but I don't want to be seen as the black sheriff. I don't want to be seen as an urban sheriff. I want to be seen as the sheriff who came, who made great strides, transition, transform. I love the things that we're doing. You know, we are more diverse than we've ever been in the history of this office. We have more people in positions of decision making. We have more people of color in this agency than we've ever had before. And so I pride myself on being a part of this community, trying to make a difference. Because at the end of the day, my time here is not forever. And I want to leave so when the next black man or the next Hispanic person decide that they want to run, that the people will say, you know what, we gave the first black sheriff a chance, so maybe we can give the first whatever a chance. We shouldn't be having a conversation in the 21st century, in the 2020, the first black this, the first black that. We should be way beyond that. But being as it is and being as what the society we're living in, I pride myself on presentation, delivery, service delivery, and being a trendsetter, being an atmosphere changer. And that's what we do every day here, is that we came here to change the game.
Excellent. Chief Johnson, I wonder if you want to follow up on that, given your role, 26 years on the police department, now chief of police. What's that like, you know, being chief of police, but also being female and African-American?
So, you know, for me, as I think through it, I think about young Katrina growing up in the city of Detroit, where, you know, violence surrounded me, but love covered my home. I think about everything that happened that led me to this space. And what I try to do is realize that there were people as I'm going through life, but particularly my career, that I looked up to, that I paid attention to, and realizing that I'm that person now in some little Katrina's life or some little young man's life, and that I have a responsibility and an obligation to lead or model the way. So for me, it means that there are many opportunities, you know, and I'm happy to say that our agency has been fairly progressive to be where we are, being that I am the third female chief that we've had. And the third African-American chief, you know, having had Chief Norris as our first African-American female. And then we had Chief Barry Roundtree prior to me being able to take the spot. So I've had people that paved the way, but I clearly understand we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. And I have an obligation to this community and to the young people that have a desire to be in this profession, and I'm asking God to continue to lead me to make sure I'm the instrument that He wants me to be.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Chief Henry. U.S. Marine Corps, North Carolina State Trooper. You come to a university, certainly a different field, different perspective. But you have embraced the whole concept of community policing. I just heard Chief Thompson say that you guys meet regularly to think about this. Talk about the transition to becoming chief. Now, I know you don't have, you know, much time. You've only been in the seat, what, 2 weeks now?
Right.
But I know you've learned a lot in 2 weeks. And we've talked about that. And one of the things that struck me in our conversation is that I asked you the question about students returning to campus, and you said that the students who were here know about community policing you're more concerned about the incoming students who have not had an opportunity to be with you and understand how we do policing, both in the city and on the campus of Winston-Salem State University.
Right. So, you know, we do a lot of community policing. I taught first year experience for about a year. And the reason why I did that is because it allowed the students in that class to know me on more of a personal level. You also have the other officers who teach other things like self-defense classes. We do trunk or treat. We do ice cream with a cop. So we do a lot of community policing here on this campus. But it's very important that this is a revolving door and it's not a one-time thing, right? So we're not just doing this to check a box. And the officers understand that it's important that they are getting out of these cars because the car is really just a barrier. People are not going to really communicate with you if you stay in the car. So you need to get out and build these relationships and communicate, right? And so I enjoy that, and these officers enjoy that, and they do a good job of that. And the reason why it's important is because they have to get to know who I am, right? They have to know some of my experience, what it was like for me growing up in the Bronx, what it was like for me to grow up in a household with a father who was in law enforcement. And while I was with him, I saw him mistreated by other law enforcement officers when he was in plain clothes. I have to share those experiences. The other officers have experiences based on how they grew up, and they need to share those things so that way we can build a relationship and people understand we do see what's going on. We see some of these things as being a problem, and we follow up on what we're going to do to correct some of these things. So I love everything that the sheriff and Chief Thompson said. I'm in agreement with that. And again, I enjoy the relationships that we have because we hold each other accountable and we share information. So that's just part of what we do behind the scenes here for this community.
Well, let's get into the, you know, what's happening in America right now. And people who are watching this show are going to say, you know, he invited these folks on. He's not going to deal with the real issues around policing, but you guys deal with the real issues around policing every day. I know that. I want to get into the whole notion. Sheriff Kimbrough, you talked about you've been in policing and you understand how this society views policing today. And there's a lot of movement in federal level, at the state level, talking about police reform. You know, kind of take us through some of your thoughts about kind of what's happening in this country today and the kind of, I guess, how people have been seeing police over the past month or so. I believe, and I'll just share this with you, I've shared with my executive team that I believe that when students return in the fall, there'll be two major issues on the table. One, certainly as we deal with the whole issue around kind of the pandemic, that's always going to be there. How do we manage that? But there's always going to be issues around racism and discrimination. We've seen that bubble up as well. And it's going to be a huge issue, I think, around policing and how people perceive the police and how they engage the police. You're aware of that. You've seen what's happening in this country. Talk to me in terms of give me your perspective in terms of where you see policing today and what needs to happen.
Well, as I said earlier, you know, we all know that racism is alive in our country. We know that that's a given. We know that there's systemic racism. If you take the four most powerful systems in our society, you take the justice system, you take the educational system, you take the economic system, and you can even throw the religion system in there. All four of those systems were based on racism. It was based to hold one down and release another. So when you look at law enforcement, criminal justice system, it was based on racism. You and I know that we were only considered 3/5 of a human being. You and I know that if you look at most institutions, detention center, that is filled with more population of black and brown people. You know, we know that these are givens. Where I see and what I see law enforcement now is that more people of color have to enter into the system to change the system. The system was created by people, and that system is just manifesting itself over and over again based on thoughts, based on a culture. Every profession has a culture. There's a subculture within that. Law enforcement has a subculture. Teaching has a culture. Athletes have a culture. Preachers have a culture. So when we talk about law enforcement reforms now, I'm all for retooling. I'm all for a little bit reconstruction. I'm all for that. Some of the things that I have seen in recent times that I'm pleased with, the governor came out with Executive Order 145, were to create basically a division within the AG's office to basically oversee and to create some type of reform to where the system works better than it does. I myself could see some reforms. For an example, if you had a social justice coordinator in every police department. So for example, anytime there's an issue, that person would not only submit that issue to IA, Internal Affairs, but they will submit that issue to the social justice coordinator. That social justice coordinator will look into those issues and see whether they were founded or not founded. And then that social justice coordinator will look at any type of brutality, any type of injustice within that thing. This notion about defunding, to me, that doesn't make sense to me. And I'll tell you why, because right now you want to defund something that's already underfunded. If you want police departments, forget, take police out of the equation. Any entity that you want to function at a level that you call superior level requires funding. You and I have had conversations how we talk about funding versus another university across town, how you just want a crumb, a tenth of what they're doing, because funding makes a difference on the work performance. Funding determines how much training. Funding determines where I can send the training to. Funding determines the level that I get. So if you go into defunding some things, you're going to get less than what you had. And, you know, I think that right now, these unprecedented times that we're in, is a time to do that, to restructure and retool.
Right.
So I'm all for that. Just that's just a few of the things that we have time to talk about, not want to take all the time that we have, but just those two changes right there are game changers. Those are game changers.
I agree, Sheriff. And I think one of the messages I want people to take away from this is oftentimes when people hear about defunding the police, they're not really talking about defunding the police. They're really talking about looking at the police differently. And where do you put your resources? And you mentioned those. You talk about having counselors and social justice folks to be able to look at some of the work that we're doing. Mental health, for example, all of these public health issues are related to try to make how we think about policing differently. We might get a chance to get into that a little bit later, but take us through your take, Chief Thompson. And one of the things I want to get back to this area in just a moment, but take us through your thoughts on what's been happening in the country around policing, Chief Thompson.
Well, you know, kind of like the sheriff said, it's no secret that law enforcement had historically been used as a tool to oppress African Americans and people of color in our country. If you look at any of our old civil rights films or Eyes on the Prize or any of that, you'll see how dogs and water hoses and a number of different things were used to oppress African Americans in this country. And so we have a system that historically has, for African Americans, law enforcement has had a contentious relationship because we didn't trust law enforcement. And that's where I think, first off, we didn't get there overnight, and change is not going to happen overnight. So we all need to understand that, but we've got to start somewhere. And while some of the changes that we're hearing that needs to be made, we may not see the benefits of that in our lifetime. But if we don't start now and we don't work together on making some of these changes and getting involved in some of the reform and be serious and intentional about some real sustainable changes that makes a difference in how justice is distributed to all people, then we'll never get there. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will never see the fruits of a lot of labor that's going on now. Do I believe that we have systemic racism in law enforcement? Absolutely. Do I believe that all law enforcement officers not African-American or people of color are racist? No, I don't. But I'm not naive enough to believe that we don't have racism within our law enforcement agencies across our country. And so clearly what we saw happen to George Floyd in Minneapolis was, it was horrendous. And there is no excuse for it, none whatsoever. But what I want us to do here in Winston-Salem, because this is what we're charged with, this is the community we're charged with protecting and serving. I don't want us to adopt problems that are not ours. In other words, we have real issues that we need to address to when we're talking about equality and justice for all. We have some true issues right here in Winston-Salem. We need to look at, how do we change the fact that the 27101 zip code has a 14% or 14-year lower life expectancy than the 27104 zip code? Those are true issues right here in our community. We need to see, why does Kimberly Park look so much different elementary school than Whitaker Elementary? We need to know those answers. We need to do what it takes to change that, so that all of our kids are on a level playing field and can move forward and advance off the education side. So again, like the sheriff said, I could go on and on with this.
Chester, you know, Chief says something that we talk about a lot of times, is that there are so many social issues happening now that would become criminal issues. You know, education is a true emancipator. You know, we have illiteracy rates higher in certain pockets of our community than others. You know, those are some issues that we've got to address. Poverty, we've got to address. That life expectancy, we've got to address those issues, because those will become criminal justice issues. Because if you can't read, write, and all the things that the pursuit of happiness in life, then what do you have?
Yeah, you know, I'm curious, and we talked about the, some of the issues in Winston-Salem. I'm interested in the kinds of conversations that you guys were having in and around the George Floyd, and in and around when we had so much, you know, rioting in this country. One of the things that someone wrote about, that it was so much less in Winston-Salem than some of the other cities in North Carolina. What were those Tuesday morning discussions like, and why were you successful in doing that? Chief Thompson, I saw you on television. I saw you talking to the locals, having conversation. You mentioned a young man who had been instrumental in assisting you in doing some things. And just curious as to what the conversation was like during those moments.
So Chancellor Robinson, really what we're talking about is, we all have something to bring to the table in this community. We are very proud of, and I think we all should be proud of the fact that while, you know, some of our neighboring cities right here in our state, you know, let alone some of the other states, but while our neighboring cities were having to don riot gear and stand on lines and deal with civil disorder, civil unrest, and out and out rioting, we did not have that in Winston. And I have to say, you know, things could change tonight, right? Yeah. But to this point, we're what, 6 weeks in to the unrest, the most recent unrest. I have to believe that a lot of it has to do with, for us, community policing. And then for our community, the fact that they love this city and believe that our voices can be heard, our pain can be felt without us destroying the community that serves us. And so, you know, what does it do to burn down the pharmacy that you have to go to and get your medicine every day, right? I mean, what did the pharmacy do that caused any of the pain? I think I'm most proud about the fact that we can have these conversations, that you felt comfortable picking up the phone and saying, hey, Chief, do you mind coming on the show with me? I feel comfortable that some of the young people in our community have reached out to myself and to the sheriff. We met with a group today who basically said, listen, we want to talk to you guys. And at the end of the day, if they are have the courage enough to call us and say they want to talk to us about really moving some real, making some real changes, we are happy to say tell us when and where we'll be there. And the sheriff and I have been able to do that. Again, being able to sit down and have conversations, and we start out saying, listen, we're going to say that in some parts of our conversations, we're going to have to agree to disagree. And that's okay too, as long as we understand each other. And at the end of the day, I truly believe that communication builds trust. And so if we can sit down and have these discussions at the table, and some of it might be debating back and forth, that that's okay. But you get to know who Katrina is beyond the badge and the uniform.
So, you know, I have to give you a plug too, Chancellor. I'll tell you why. I have to give you a plug, SU a plug. Because today we met with Shavers, McCoy, Terry, and Leggett, all SU graduates, right? Grassroots protesters, very articulate young men and women, SU graduates. And they sat with us and they talked with us. You know, we were part of the protest. We were part of trying to be a part of the solution. But as the chief said, that I'm grateful for the protesters. You know, they're part of the change and they love this city. But it's one thing that's powerful when you can sit down at a table and we may not agree and we may disagree, but we can sit at each other and say, you know, what's the common ground? We got more in common than we have in our differences. And how can we move forward? Because at the end of the day, we in this together. We in this together. And so I want to thank you and the institution of Winston-Salem State University for how you shape those four young men and women that we met with today that sat with us. And when they sat with us, they talked about one of the professors from Jamaica, Dixon. They talked about Brother Modell, how they shaped them and the leadership that they was given by them, Dr. Dixon. And so I applaud them for that.
Yeah. And I think we can always look to our students. There's some amazing individuals that got great perspectives about that. And we work every day really to try to change the perception that they have about law enforcement. Chief Henry, I know you in your role and in prior roles, we do something on our campus called police trust talks. And that is really just getting students comfortable having conversations with our officers. Chief Henry, talk a little bit about those trust talks and what you planned on doing once students return.
Actually, how that began was actually through the city. And the city brought all of the campuses together along with the city police and the sheriff's department. And we sit down with all of the colleges and we have open conversations. We ask a lot of questions. The students ask a lot of questions and we answer some of these things. And again, we don't agree on everything, but everybody is respectful and they're sharing information. And the big thing for us is just to listen, right? And not be ready to respond. And the beauty with that was the students from this campus that went to that, they came back and they ran with that and started creating smaller trust talks. And now they would call them something different, but it didn't matter. It was the same outcome. We would have open discussions and they would ask questions, you know, like, well, why do two officers have to pull up, you know, if they stop me? Or, you know, they would ask different questions that, you know, they just wanted to gain some understanding. And I think the big thing with the students is that, you know, we don't have to just look at, you know, reducing crime, right? But it's also about accountability. And if you're going to hold this campus accountable, they want to know that you're holding your officers accountable, right? And so they're asking those questions. And I love that. So that's how it began here at WSSU.
Great. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. One of the things that, and I need your help on this, because we're about to open up school and first year students are coming back and it's going to be a lot of them and they're going to be concerned about issues. I need for the three of you to have a conversation with the parents and the students who are coming back to Winston-Salem to help them kind of feel a little bit safer and secure when they come back.
Absolutely.
Make no mistake about it. Whatever you need, Chancellor, they can get it. You know, I want the parents, if they're listening, to know that when they bring their students to Winston-Salem State University, wherever they bring them in Winston, they're safe here. as it relates to law enforcement. I give you my pledge that, and I tell all my guys, you treat people as if they were your children or my children. Because if not, if there's an issue, one of the things that I tell them is, hey, I'm going to call the sheriff. And what I'm going to say to you is that I would love to come to your campus when the freshmen come back, bring my partner in crime preventions, Chief Henry and Chief Thompson, and basically meet with your freshmen and underclassmen and tell them, hey, if you get stopped and you feel uncomfortable, you say, hey, I spoke with the chief and I spoke with Chief Thompson, Chief Henry, and Sheriff Kimbrough, and they told me personally, make sure I call them, and here is my cell number, right? Because when you can say, hey, I've spoken with the chief, both chiefs, you know, that's a game changer, because what happens now is whoever that person is, they have a hint of anything wrong, racism, discrimination, it puts them in balance, because now they know you have access to the system. Now they know that you have somebody that they can shoot a direct call to and they ain't gonna get lost in the system. And that is one of the reasons that is important for us to be in the community, to let people know that I don't sit here in this office in this brick and mortar building, that they can access us.
Great, fantastic. Chief Thompson, help me out. What can I tell the parents and the students that are returning?
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you, Chancellor Robinson. I'd love the opportunity to be able to come to a parents' day and be able to tell them myself. But if that opportunity,
that's a check. I'm gonna check that one off.
At the end of the day, you know, before I think it's important that parents know that I'm a mom. I have two teenage children. One will be starting her first year in college. And then my son, 16, just turned 16 years old, and he has autism. And so I know and understand what it means when you have to send your child off, when you've been there with them every step of the way all their lives. You want to know that they are safe, and you want to know that there's somebody there who cares and is going to look at them as if they're their own child. I want your parents to know, the parents of our kids at Winston-Salem State, to know that that's who I am. That's who we are. And so at the end of the day, I want them to hold us all accountable for the roles that we play in the communities where their children are being educated. We're partners in their growth, development, and their education. So whatever we can do to help foster that, we're here to do that.
Chief Henry, the students don't, you're in a new role and the students don't know you. They remember Chief Norris and they're coming back and they said, now we have a new chief. Who are you and what are you gonna tell them?
Well, I mean, I'm sure quite a few of them know me just from some of the videos or the running man dance or whatever else I've been asked to do. I've always been open to that.
Or the rapping.
I'm not good at the wild.
Sheriff, I don't think you and Chief Thompson know that he raps. He's a rapper.
That was the first I heard of that.
No, I was not aware of that.
You got skills like that, Chief?
No. But I do want the students and the parents to know that we are open to any conversation or concern that they have. And that's at all times. I will gladly give them my number and they can call me anytime they have a concern. Again, we have a great relationship with the Sheriff's Department and City Police Department. So any concern that they have, I'm open to discussing that.
Yeah. So. Well, I appreciate it. And we'll be welcoming those students back real soon. Take us through, because I know that it's a challenge today given the perception that people have about policing to get good people. We need good people coming into the profession. We need solid people, people with values and morals and all those kinds of things. What can we do to get folks interested in going into policing? Because I want to help, the university wants to help in any way that we can do that. selecting good officers, and Chief Henry and I talk about this all the time, there's a special quality that we're looking for someone to come in this profession. Talk about what you think some of those qualities are, Chief Henry, in being an officer on our campus.
Right. So, I mean, some of the things that we'll look for are natural leaders, right? And people that just have this desire to want to do for the community, right? And treat people the way they want to be treated. And they're not just intrigued by, you know, power or a title, right? So those are some of the things that we look for. You know, do they do community service? Right. Because, you know, the thing is, if you graduated from here, you're an alum or you've gone to school here, you know, and you want to get in law enforcement, you know, we want to welcome you. Right. But, you know, some of it is, you know, do you have all of what it takes? Because you have to go through certain processes. There are people that really want to be in law enforcement, but they don't have some of the skill sets that we're looking for. And so sometimes we have to turn people away. But, you know, again, you know, that natural ability of wanting to do for your community, that's very important.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things.
Yeah, here's what we try to do in terms of, at Winston-Salem State, we don't see our police force as separate from the university. We see it as integrated into the work that we do. So when we talk about the WSSU experience, it includes the relationship that they have with our officers. And we want our officers to be a part of that. Sheriff, you're recruiting. We want good people to come into the area. Who are we looking for? And how do we get good people to come in?
So what we do is, when we came in, we tried to change the brand. I think that in this 21st century, when you're talking about recruiting, it's not the day of yesterday police departments or sheriff departments. So the brand, we had to change the brand and make the brand welcoming. We had to go and look on college campuses, bringing in college graduates. We're looking for compassion. We're looking for people with integrity, looking for people that have the ability to interact with people, good communication skills. Because at the end of the day, you want somebody that has love and compassion for the profession. Because someone told me a long time ago, this is not a profession that you're going to get rich and make millions of dollars doing. You're not. You want somebody that's doing it for the love of this job. Because anything, you know, people always ask, what is your why? You know, that used to be the new thing. What is your why? Why do you do this? If your why, W-H-Y, is not love when it comes to this, you'll be short-lived here.
Yeah. Sheriff, is it still a noble profession?
I think it is. I started in this profession in 1983, and I've loved it. It's been good to me. It's helped me send my boys to school. Of course, you know, one is a graduate of SSU. One is, I guess he's in the ninth year over there. Eventually, he's going to graduate sometime, you know, God willing. I think it's a very noble profession. You know, we, as Chief said, we're taking some hits right now. You know, 2-5% don't make the other 95% bad. It doesn't. And so I'm still proud. I get up every morning when I walk in this office and I look at that flag and I look at the men on it. I say to myself, I'm grateful to serve. You know, it's a difficult time now. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. It's a very difficult time. Not loved and as popular as we once was one time before. We're not. And you think about this, law enforcement is a very hard profession to get people of color to come into, because for so many years, men and women of color shied away from it. They were told, nah, you don't want to be 12, you don't want to be 5-0, you don't want to work for the police. You know, all of these things that people say, right? But I think I still love the profession. My son that graduated 3 years ago, he went into law enforcement. He works in the county next door. And so I think it's a very honorable profession. And I try to recruit people from your school, from A&T. We have quite a few young men and women that have graduated from both of those schools that I've named.
Yeah. What will it take to change the perception of policing in this country?
I think that it's going to take, the perception is going to take people like you, people like your professors, people in the community saying, you know what? Just like in every other profession, there are some bad things, but we cannot paint that painting so broad that let 5% make 95% bad too. We cannot do that. And I think that if we start talking about it being a noble profession and we start doing those things that we talked about, how do we become better? How do we make a better product? How do we make a better brand? I think that it'll restore itself to that place. You know, I say this and then I'll be quiet, is that when I was looking at law enforcement, you know, federal law enforcement had this swagger about it, you know, to be a special agent, right? But to me, my personal opinion, having been both, this is where it's at. This is where you test whether or not you love and can do this job, because you come in contact with people every day, every day. I see more people in a year than I saw my whole career as a special agent. And I mean, the quarters are totally different. And so to me, this is where it's at, local law enforcement, making a difference.
Making a difference. Chief Thompson.
So in terms of what we're looking for with law enforcement, I'm looking for people who love people so much that they're willing to die for them. That's what I'm looking for. Because at the end of the day, you know, I have said this many times, when you see a man or a woman in a police uniform, what you're looking at is a person telling you that they love you without ever opening up their mouth. And that is because they strap on a bulletproof vest to their chest every day and put a service weapon on their hip, kiss their families goodbye, and realize they may not ever get to see them again. They are willing to give up their lives, sacrifice their own lives to save the life of the people in this community that they serve. And what greater love? And so at the end of the day, you've got to be willing to love this job and to love the people that you serve enough that you are okay with sacrificing your own life, if it comes to that, to save theirs.
Wow, what a powerful message. We're almost up against the hour. I'm gonna give each of you 2 minutes to tell the community, what is your message to the community at this point about what's happening around law enforcement in this area and law enforcement in America? I'll give you 2 minutes to tell your message. I'll start with you, Chief.
So what I want to tell our community is that we have come a long way, but we all know we still have a long way to go. I am so grateful to the four young people that came in and talked to the sheriff and I today. I am so grateful that they were open enough and, you know, we're generations apart. And so we have a lot of differences. They bring a lot to the table. And I'm appreciative that they're willing to get out here and to fight and to protest, to be heard for what they believe is right. And I am committed as an agency, as a leader and the agency head, to do everything that I possibly can to help them in the fight. I just want to make sure we're doing it the right way, we're doing it the safe way, and we're being respectful of each other all the way around. I want our community to be proud of where we are, where we live, and what we have here, realizing that there are a lot of people looking at us wishing they were us. And so I don't want us to be to take what we have for granted, because what we have in this community is truly special. Yes, we can do better, but we are so much further ahead than other communities. And I'm so grateful to be leading in this community at this time.
Thank you, Chief Thompson. I appreciate that. Sheriff, give us your closing argument.
I think that we're in some unprecedented times. I think that law enforcement has changed. It has evolved from what it used to be. It's not the law enforcement that I came into in 1983. I think that we're going to be better through some of the changes that we're going through. I think that we are awakening the consciousness of law enforcement. I think that the pressure that is being applied are pushing people out that shouldn't be in it, and realizing that if you're not in it for the right reason, eventually the light will shine on you. And eventually we're going to be that greatness that we talk about and hope to be. And, you know, I'll leave you with this. And I always say this, is that some years ago, I was in a country I'll leave unnamed, and we were coming back from a mission, and we were inside of one of the vehicles, and I was talking to some foreign national, and I was saying that I was excited. I was getting excited because I could see the flag waving in the distance. And they said to me, they said, "Kimbrough, why do you get so excited when we get close to the embassy and you see the flag waving in the distance? Why do you get so excited about a country and a place that does not treat black men right?" And I said to them was this, and this is what I say as relates to law enforcement. We better than we used to be. That's a fact. And today, together with the evolution and what's happening, we're gonna be better than we've ever been. And at the end of the day, together we are stronger, together we are better. And this is my city, my county, my country. And I have an obligation to make it better. And that's what I'm gonna do.
Thank you, Sheriff, I appreciate that. Chief Henry, closing arguments, take us out.
Right, so, you know, I just want this community to know that we are working on their behalf behind the scenes, talking with the sheriff, talking with the chief, talking about our concerns. And we just want them to know that we care about them. We are here to listen to you, listen to your concerns. If you have questions, just don't sit back and keep those things to yourself. Share that with us. Sit down at the table with us, and let's come up with, you know, ways to address those concerns, because we care about you. And our goal here is to ensure that we are graduating students, hopefully in 4 years, without any issues. And also that the faculty and staff here have a place where they feel comfortable doing their job and being productive, right? So we care about you, we're here for you.
Yeah. I mean, thank you all so much. I mean, what a wonderful hour of conversation with, I think, three of the busiest people in Winston-Salem. And you took time to come and be on Future Focus Now. I really appreciate you guys. You don't know how much. You're making our lives better. You're making this community better, not only with your various roles, what you do from an individual standpoint. So thank you for being on the show. I knew it was going to be great, but I had no idea it was going to be like this. You touched my heart in so many ways. I look forward to working with each of you down the road. So thank you so much. And don't forget, Sheriff, don't forget to join us next week for another edition of Future Focus Now, the most talked about webcast in America. Join us next week. And thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chancellor.